gallant South.
I'm Jesse DeGroot, the marketing representative for the Mack Hayden Theater in Chatham, New York, and you're in tune to 90.7 FM WGXC ACRA.
The Catskill Food Pantry is located in the Parish Hall of St. Luke's Episcopal Church at 50 William Street in Catskill. The pantry is open to the public every Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. Healthy food is a right. For more information, please feel welcome to visit the pantry, call us at 551-299-2456, check the website at catskillfoodpantry.org, or connect with us on Facebook at Catskill Food Pantry.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more, plus advance notice of close-up series conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Saugerties, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org. That's upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of August Black in Boulder, Colorado. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Aloha out there in Radio Land.
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Up from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues. The show is a monthly roundup of new music plumbing psych, folk, cosmic Americana, indie, garage, and exploratory titles alongside enough classic gems to hold it all together like glue. You can tune into the show every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Welcome to Forgotten Geek Presents One Hitters 1982, Volume 1 on WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, Catskill, Hudson. Corey McCaslin here with the Memory Hole Top 40 Hits from Carla Bonoff, Prism, Sky, and more, along with covers, live performances, and alternate takes on classics by Marshall Crenshaw, Soft Cell, and Tony Basil. We're also getting a big serving of geek speak this week, so let's go. An unusual duo is coming together to preserve animation history. Deadline Report and the Seth MacFarlane Foundation is partnering with Martin Scorsese's Film Foundation to fund the curation and restoration of historically significant animated shorts from the 1920s through 1940s. The initial set premiered under the title Back from the Ink, Restored Animated Shorts, at the 2024 TCM Classic Film Festival this prior Saturday, and included over half a dozen shorts, ranging from Fleischer tunes to Terry tunes and a couple from George Powell. A new challenger for gobbling up Paramount appears, as the New York Times broke Sony is in discussions with rejected bidder Apollo Global Management, the team for an all-cash offer for outstanding stock. Can't be sure if it's them saying to their Spidey partner, "See, Disney, we can do it too." Disney's also thinking they can do other things too, as the information reports they're considering adding always-on channels a la Pluto and Tubi. meaning an Always MCU, Always Star Wars, and presumably an Always Doctor Who channel. Which I really only mention as a segue into the next item, and join my fellow Whovians in telling the tabloids and online trades to stuff a sock in it. For months there's been solid rumors that the second Gotwa season will add a new companion, Verata Sethu, but those quote-unquote sources were clearly trying to spin it into a Millie Gibson quits, is fired, a la Eccleston, despite no indication of that, and even reports she was filming episodes for the second season. It has now been announced that yes, Sethu, who worked with Russell T. Davis on a production of Midsummer Night's Dream, is aboard alongside Gibson. Because it's not like the Doctor has ever traveled with multiple companions before. Starting off Trek with the bad news, summed up with my imitation of Paramount Plus. Why aren't more people watching us? Anyway, let's cancel another Star Trek show. So while Strange New Worlds is given a fourth season, Lower Decks will end with season 5 because, yeah, not as raw about this as I was, but I am still this close to almost wanting Paramount to just be gobbled up or sold off before parts, despite objectively knowing that'd be worse in another way. Hashtag save Star Trek Lower Decks. This does lend some credence to Alex Kurtzman explicitly saying it ain't him stopping a legacy follow-up to Picard from happening, telling Den of Geek if it was his decision alone and he had a magic green light button, we'd be getting ready for the continuing adventures of Seven's Enterprise. On the film side, there is a concerted effort to finally get something done, several somethings actually. At CinemaCon, Paramount announced they will have the untitled, Toby Haynes-directed, Seth Graham Smith-written Starfleet Origin movie out next year. Variety, meanwhile, broke that the studio has assigned Dead Boy Detectives and flight attendant showrunner Steve Yockey to take a crack at the long-delayed fourth and final Kelvinverse movie. Unfortunately, the new leaps of Ben Song have come to their conclusion, as Deadline broke Quantum Leap's recent two-hour finale was a series, not season concluder. Today's first set begins with Don't Let Them Know by Prism.
You gonna say to him?
That was Tane Kane's Holding On, which made into the Billboard Top 40 at number 37, September 18th, 1982. Or that was Don't Let 'Em Know by Prism, which cracked the Top 40 at number 39 on March 13th. The aforementioned CinemaCon in Las Vegas brought some more news of the MCU's recovery efforts, including the Fantastic Four's official Very 60s logo, and that it'll be shot for IMAX. A clip from Captain America Brave New World in which Harrison Ford is now President Thunderbolt Ross orders Sam Wilson Cap to restart the Avengers and dismisses his reluctance as, quote, "you're not Steve Rogers." And confirmed the title change for Thunderbolts to Thunderbolts Asterix, Feige saying the reasons for that won't be revealed until the film's release. But that never stops fans and they know it, with many on the social speculating that by the end of the movie the Marvel Suicide Squad will rebrand itself as the Dark Avengers. But Deadline broke the biggest news that Ozark and the Americans vet Julia Garner is the new Silver Surfer in Fantastic Four, confirming we'll get Galactus done right instead of as a purple fart cloud, but adding the extra wrinkle that she's playing Shala Ball, normally the woman that in the book Surfer Norrin Rad sacrifices free will for to protect her and their planet from the Galactic Ormond. In at least one alt continuity, she was made co-surfer, and the main took a dark turn, taking their world down the path of galactic conquest. There's been some rumors since that Norrin Rad will also appear, and a reminder of rumors Marvel has considered a Werewolf by Night-esque one-off Disney Plus special about the power cosmic holder, with additional rumor that it might be a full series. McGurk! McGurk! If you heard that in the late Gilbert Gottfried's voice, we're friends, as James Gunn took to Instagram to post a picture of DC Superpowers action figure of Mr. Mitsuplitlik, naturally leading to speculation that the fifth dimensional it may make some appearance in an upcoming movie or the currently filming Peacemaker Season 2. Save the cheerleader again, again. Deadline reports the week of the recent eclipse saw Tim Kring pitching a second revival attempt of his classic 2006 Burn Brightly superhero drama Heroes, now subtitled Eclipsed, to original broadcaster NBC and several streamers. TMNT's inevitable return to live action has taken a surprising turn, as a Hollywood Reporter passed on that Paramount's announcement that development has begun an R-rated adaptation of acclaimed 2020 miniseries The Last Ronin, which featured the last of the brothers in a post-apocalyptic New York fighting Shredder's grandson. Don't worry, darling, I'll take care of the demons. Deadline broke that an auction is underway to land actress-slash-auteur Olivia Wilde's adaptation of Rob Liefeld's demon-hunting angel Evangeline. Many shall rise, many shall fall. Go, Joe. Paramount made the obvious even more obvious by announcing the next live-action Transformers will follow from Rise of the Beast's tease of a crossover-slash-battle with G.I. Joe. Lower Deck exploitation hits the video game sphere, as Comedy Central has greenlit an animated comedy adaptation of classic Sega fantasy brawler Golden Axe from Lower Deck's producer Mike McMahon and American Dad producer Joe Chandler, with a voice cast so far including Matthew Reese and Danny Pudi. Jon Snow's journey will not continue anytime soon, Kit Harington telling Screen Rant they couldn't land on a story worth exploring. In other franchise renewals and expansions, Apple TV Plus handed out renewals for alt history sensation For All Mankind and acclaimed legendary MonsterVerse series Monarch Legacy of Monsters, also announcing a Soviet-focused spinoff for the former, titled Star City, and plans to expand the latter in a new multi-series deal with Legendary. The 28 Days Later saga's continuation has found a helmer for the second installment in the planned trilogy to take up the baton from Danny Boyle. Deadline reports Marvel's and Candyman director Nia DaCosta will direct the untitled second film, still be written by Boyle and Garland. Blumhouse, come on down and see if you're the one who can finally make Blair Witch work again. THR reports that as a part of a deal with Lionsgate to rework some of their IP, that will start with a new take on the found footage genre codifier. Now for a contemporary-ish cover of a 1982 hit, here's Contessa's take on Murphy's Law by Cherie, retitled Femme Fatale.
Mm-hmm.
That set began with Femme Fatale by Contessa, covering Murphy's Law by Cherie, which peaked into the Billboard Top 40 at number 39 on June 5th, 1982. That was followed by a song that had even your host going, "Oh wow, I totally forgot that." Carla Bonoff's Personally, which I know I heard a number of times as a child before it went down the memory hole, after originally peaking at number 19 on August 7th. Getting to the bottom of the hour on Forgotten Geek on WGXC, we conclude Geek Speak with some auteur-driven news. The ball has begun picking up speed on Coppola's final cinematic epic, Megapolis. The self-financed dream project, which he first wrote back in the 90s, concerns the conflict between architect Adam Driver and Mayor Giancarlo Esposito over how to rebuild a New York City-esque metropolis following a major disaster. And also features Lawrence Fishburne, Natalie Emanuel, Shia LaBeouf, Aubrey Plaza, Dustin Hoffman, and many more. Screenings began last month, and reaction is mixed and perplexed. One describing it as a mix of, quote, Ayn Rand, Fritz Lang's Metropolis, and Tinto Brass's Caligula, unquote, and, quote, unflinching in how bat-blank crazy it is, unquote. Another common reaction was expanded on in a piece by THR, saying Coppola's hope to secure distribution and promotion quickly is stalled due to the idiosyncratic, uncommercial nature of the work. So, the last hope for the legendary tour may be Cannes, as Deadline announced it will get a gala premiere at next month's annual festival. Coppola's fellow New Hollywood slash film brat vets have also set their next projects in motion. Variety reporting Spielberg is reuniting with Jurassic Park adapter David Koepp for a UFO-based film. Meanwhile, Scorsese intends to shoot two controversial, long-simmering projects back-to-back, starting with his Jesus movie, hoping the film later this year and possibly featuring Andrew Garfield and Miles Teller. While DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence are set to play the chairman of the board and Ava Gardner in a Sinatra biopic, and as expected given past difficulties with them, the estate is not on board. Getting back to the weirder side of cinema, David Lynch has one more movie left in him after all, it turns out. It's just a matter of getting someone to let him make what would be his first foray into animation. He told Deadline despite Netflix's rebuff, he hopes to find financing for his, a frequent Tim Burton screenwriter Caroline Thompson's, fairytale-esque Snoot World. Finally, whatever Tarantino's final film is, it won't be The Movie Critic. THR broke that the porn mag movie column-inspired tale had taken some new directions, including a reprisal by Brad Pitt of his Once Upon a Time in Hollywood character, before Tarantino scrapped it entirely and started over from scratch. So maybe there's hope for Star Trek Mobster World or Kill Bill Volume 3 after all. For a few more forgotten hits, we're getting a live rendition of a song you still hear plenty of today. From Late Night with David Letterman, here's Marshall Crenshaw performing Someday, Someway.
Marshall Crenshaw and a national tour, his career has really started to move. We're delighted to have him here tonight for his network television debut. Please welcome Marshall Crenshaw.
Take it. someone to hold you tight, someone to treat you right. Though your girlfriend's a friend of mine, here's my number and a dime. Call me anytime.
Call me.
If you need someone to talk to,
call me.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Call me.
If you need someone to talk to,
call me.
Call me.
That was Call Me, No Relation by Sky, which made its number 26 on March 6, 1982's Billboard Top 40 listing. For that was July 24th, number 37 placing hit, Nice Girls by Eye to Eye. The set began with Letterman performance of Someday, Someway by Marshall Crenshaw, which peaked at number 36 on August 28th. Now going fully into covers, here's Steel Panther's take on Alda Nova's Fantasy.
Your
Today's penultimate set kicked off Steel Panther's rendition of Fantasy by Aldo Nova, the original peaking on the Billboard Top 40 at number 23 on March 29, 1982. After that, we heard Bonfire's version of Stone Cold, the original Rainbow classic, cracking the Top 40 at number 40 on June 19th. And we closed with a cover of a hit cover and Spiral Carpet's interesting take on Tainted Love, Soft Cell's 80s standard cover of the Ed Cobb written, first sung by Gloria Jones song, making it all the way to number 8 on July 17th. Thanks for listening. I'll be back in 3 weeks to ring in the new season of Doctor Who, along with some spillover from this already packed look into 1982. Stay safe as we first go out with Tony Basil's own Spanish rendition of her classic Mickey, the original hit at number 1 on December 11th, 1982. Then fade out with K Creation's take on Vangelis' classic theme for Chariots of Fire, the original making it to number 1 as well on May 8th.